6:14 now, Friday morning. This is what November 22nd should look like and feel like. The purple, gold, and green lights glittering in the distance of the Crescent City Connection, sparkling, if you will. Right now it's 50 degrees, going up to only 64 today, 68 tomorrow, then warming to 76 by Sunday. And it warms into the 70s. I hate to tell you this, but Thanksgiving Day is going to be close to 80 degrees. But then, just in time for Black Friday, a cold front comes through, and the highs Friday are going to be 55. Probably be a little bit nicer if the highs, even colder than it is going to be today, chillier, if the highs would be colder for Thanksgiving. You could wear your sweaters and fireplace and all that stuff, but doesn't look like it's going to time out. Speaking of Black Friday, Ted Rossman joins us now, Baker Range Senior Industry Analyst. Talk about cyber shopping and Cyber Monday, Black Friday, all that stuff. How you doing, Ted?
Good morning. I'm doing well. Thank you.
Tell me what this Bankrate study has found about Cyber Monday and Black Friday and holiday shopping.
We found that Cyber Monday is actually the most popular of the Thanksgiving weekend shopping holidays. 59% of U.S. adults say it's likely that they're going to buy something on Cyber Monday, and that's ahead of Black Friday at 53% and Small Business Saturday at 50%. I would note that all of these days are obviously very important for retailers, but the holiday season started earlier than ever this year. A lot of the good deals rolled out in early October, and you know, this is actually kind of the midpoint of the holiday shopping season, maybe even verging on a late season event, just because Thanksgiving is late this year, and a lot of people started early. Half of holiday shoppers started making purchases before the end of October.
So does that say something about the nature of shopping in general with brick-and-mortar purchases? And also, well, let me ask, you can ask that question first, and I'll ask the next one.
We found that 43% of holiday shoppers are likely to make most of their purchases online, only 21% mostly in person. So we are seeing a strong online bent this year. Even Wait. Black Friday, I would say, has taken on more of an online tone in recent years.
What did you say? Shopping in person, 21%?
That's who said that they're going to make most of their purchases in person.
Wow.
And then the remainder, which was about 4 in 10, are kind of a mix, or they weren't sure yet. So there is going to be a lot of online shopping. That's not to say that in-person retail is dead by any means, but we do know that every year it's shifting more and more online. One thing that I did think was interesting on this note, though, is that Small Business Saturday, which is really the most in-person of these events that we're talking about, it's 6 in 10 Gen Zers and 6 in 10 Millennials who are going to be shopping on that day versus about 4 in 10 Gen Xers and Boomers. I thought that was surprising that young adults are leading the way on Small Business Saturday. It goes to show that even for those younger people, there is something, you know, maybe it's nostalgic, maybe it's the community feel about, you know, they like small shopping sometimes. Maybe they're going to make the most of their buys online, but they do still like once in a while going into the local store, supporting the community, meeting the friendly local shopkeeper, maybe finding something they didn't even know they were looking for. The big stores rank better on price and inventory, but the small stores rank better on customer service and having unique gift ideas.
Are we looking at a change to Black Friday as we've once known it? Because it seems like, I know you're saying that I saw Black Friday deals starting in October, if not before then, and I'm just wondering if Black Friday will eventually cease to be what it is and we don't have Black Friday deals in June now.
It's already changing. I mean, the season has already gotten really stretched out. It almost feels like Black Friday is kind of a season of deals now. Mm-hmm. It's not just a single date on the calendar. Not as many people are getting up at 4 a.m. and hitting the doorbusters. You know, even a lot of people who are shopping on Black Friday are doing so online. Remember a few years ago, retailers tried to get Thanksgiving to catch on as a retail holiday. That didn't work out. You know, now people get to stay home with their families. You can still buy online if you want. You know, that never closes. But Black Friday does feel like it's shifted more online. Cyber Monday definitely has a very strong online focus, really the whole season. Now, one other thing on this is that mobile shopping is supposed to outpace shopping on your computer for the first time this year. So it used to be that people were comfortable browsing on the small screen on their phone, but then when it really came time to buy something, they preferred to use a computer. that has shifted. People are getting more comfortable with the small screen, and people buying on their phones is actually supposed to outpace buying on the computer this year.
Does that lend itself to security, Ted? Or are people feeling more secure with their phones?
It could be. You know, retailers and card companies have really strengthened a lot of the payment security there. Credit cards are the safest of all. I mean, if somebody is worried about payment security, you have fraud protections with credit cards and debit cards. But with a debit card, it's real money missing from your checking account for a period of time. So I would say that credit is safer if you're concerned, because it's really just the bank's money. It's a line of credit that's easy to get corrected if there's some sort of problem. We're also seeing more technologies that are incorporating some sort of biometrics, like maybe it's your face ID or your fingerprint or some way that you can prove it's you. The card companies are even working on some easier ways to authenticate. You know, maybe they have a known device and you save all your stuff in there and you don't need to re-authenticate every time. They're trying to make it smoother.
All right, let me take a break. We'll pick it when we come back. Some interesting stuff. Talking to Ted Rossman, Bankrate Senior Industry Analyst. Cyber Monday overtaking Black Friday. Small Business Saturday is gaining in shopping popularity, but among certain demographics. And if you think about the younger generations, it would seem like when you're talking about maybe walking along Magazine Street and shopping, or going to a small boutique, you would think that would lend itself more to a younger generation, and that the older generation would stick with the established brands like the L.L. Beans or whomever else. I'm trying to think of the catalogs that I get in the mail. 621 traffic now, WWL. 626 and a half, Tommy Tucker, WWL, talking to Ted Rossman, Bankrate Senior Industry Analyst, about their study as it relates to Cyber Monday and Black Friday. Ted, when it comes to the expansion of Black Friday and then becoming, you know, October, and who knows how far back this is going to go, how does that affect the way stores and businesses measure Christmas making their season, and does Christmas still make their year, or for the most part, not season?
Yeah, the National Retail Federation actually defines holiday shopping as November 1st through the end of the year. Mm-hmm. I think they need to bump that up, because a lot of people are starting in October now. It's interesting, though, as much as we think about these October sales like Amazon Prime Big Deal Days and Target Circle Week, as much as we think of those October events as kind of the kickoff to the holiday season, we found that while half of U.S. adults bought something during that time frame, non-holiday items were actually even more popular than holiday items. Mm-hmm. There is a fair bit of treat yourself or grab some things for around the house or whatever it is. It's kind of like Amazon Prime Day in July. It's kind of a back-to-school thing, but it's also kind of an everything-else thing. There is an element to retailers just want us to buy stuff, and they want to start earlier with these kind of tentpole events, and they hope that you start early and you just keep buying. You know, these events really were born out of the pandemic, and it was sort of a supply chain thing at first, and now it's morphed into more of a cost savings thing. So the season has definitely gotten stretched out.
Talk about soft saving, if you will, when it comes to the younger generations.
Soft saving is basically this idea that you're going to save what's left at the end of the month, but you're not going to be terribly intentional about it. Mm-hmm. I don't love the approach, just because I do think the best way to set money aside is to be intentional. And, you know, that whole pay yourself first idea, mm-hmm. where you have money transferred every paycheck, and you know, maybe you put it in a high-yield online savings account, and you get 5% on top of that. Some of this, though, is rooted in pessimism among young adults, that they feel that the deck is kind of stacked against them, that they have all these student loans, and it's hard to buy a house, and it's expensive to raise kids, and it's sort of a you-only-live-once thing, that, you know, we're going to enjoy ourselves, and if we save a little money along the way, great, but we're not going to make it a big priority. That's kind of the feeling there.
Hey, is there anything that, generally speaking, says that people, as they age, spend less? Because I've been living, and I'm not that old, but I've been living with and I live alone with a broken garbage disposal and a broken dishwasher, and I don't care. I just don't feel like spending the money to get it fixed. Is that only me, or does that happen as you age?
That's funny. Yeah, I don't have any hard data on it, but I suspect there is some truth to that.
As opposed to treating myself, I'm just the opposite. It's like, you know what? Yeah, what the hell? I'll wash the dishes. No big deal. Any final thoughts, Ted Rossman?
This holiday season is likely to eke out a slight gain over last year, maybe 2 or 3%, according to various sources. Target, though, threw a little bit of cold water on that this week, saying that their sales might be flat. Some saw that as a bit of a warning sign. Consumers are feeling frugal. They're still spending, but they're spending thoughtfully.
Thank you, Ted. Appreciate your time as always. Ted Rossman, Bankrate Senior Industry Analyst. And I asked the question before on this anniversary of the JFK assassination, do you think that Lee Harvey Oswald acted alone? And text me at 504-260-1870, getting some interesting responses. I'll read yours as well if you text it in when we come back. Right now, 6:30, time for WWL First News. 6:45, quarter till 7. First of all, the good news, it's a beautiful fall morning, man. 50 degrees, plenty of sunshine. It's going to be that way throughout the day. Highs of only 64, 68 tomorrow, but it warms up on Sunday. Highs of 76, near 80 on Monday. Then a little dip on Tuesday and Wednesday, and then going back to near 80 for Thanksgiving Day, so you will need the AC. But come Friday, Black Friday, a front comes through, and highs then only in the mid-50s, and it's going to be that way through Saturday at least. So there's the good news. Then again, there's Jeff Palermo, WWL.com columnist, Louisiana Network News Director, who joins us now. And I would remind you that Jeff's only the messenger, as am I. How you doing, Jeff?
I'm doing well, Tommy. Thanks for setting me up here to deliver all the bad news.
Yeah,
today,
somebody texted me last night, and I didn't get a nap yesterday, and I was kind of half dozing off. And when I saw this, it's like, you know, maybe you could have waited until the morning to tell me. Tell me what's going on. Tell the audience what's going on with Bryce Underwood if they have not heard, and who Bryce Underwood is.
Well, Bryce Underwood is the number one player in the class of 2025, a talented quarterback out of the state of Michigan, grew up or lives 30 miles away, or 30 minutes away, I should say, from Ann Arbor. And he's a guy that Joe Sloan, LSU's offensive coordinator and passing and quarterbacks coach, really got a great relationship with. And Bryce Underwood last January committed to LSU. And obviously that's huge that for LSU to have the number one player in a recruiting class and the number one quarterback. And this was supposed to be the guy that would be your quarterback for 2-3 years here in the future. And was very much committed to LSU and made multiple visits to LSU and talked up LSU and helped recruit kids to this current recruiting class that LSU has. But a few weeks ago, Michigan really started to push the envelope here as far as getting their collectives and getting their boosters behind the effort of trying to basically give Underwood whatever it would take in NIL money to have him commit to Michigan and sign with Michigan. Well, that eventually they eventually found that number that they were looking for, which has been reported about $12 million over the course of several seasons. So it's a total of $12 million. And Bryce Underwood made the decision or made the announcement late yesterday afternoon that he decommitted from LSU and is going to Michigan. And during this slump here that LSU's in this three-game losing streak, you've heard a lot of fans here, Tommy, say, well, they're going through a tough time now, but at least Bryce Underwood's coming to LSU. Well, now you don't even have you can't even hang your hat on that. So a really big blow for the LSU football program.
So let me ask you about Bryce Underwood. First of all, I don't know if you know this or not, but I'm guessing that he is in the midst of the high school playoffs in Michigan.
I believe they just lost. I believe they just lost. But this is a guy that's won state championships there before. Just an athletic quarterback with a big arm, could just do a lot of different things. You don't become the number one player in a recruiting class if you just don't have all the tools. Seemed like a good leader. Seemed like just seemed like exactly what you would want at the quarterback position.
So how does that affect? I know they're talking about this wide receiver from Michigan, right? Talking about butterfly effect, somebody texted in earlier. What effect does this have on the recruiting class beyond Bryce Underwood?
Well, you have early signing day is coming up here. It's actually in just a couple of weeks. So, there's the possibility that you could have some more defections from this class. I mean, this is the point where you got to hold on tight because, NIL offerings are being amped up and you're making your last pushes here as far as trying to get guys to commit somewhere else. But I think on the positive, for instance, Devin Harper, who is a four-star lineman for LSU, or who was committed to LSU, he just committed to Ole Miss over the weekend. I mean, this kid from Calvary Baptist, he's one of the top offensive linemen in the not only in the state but in the country. The number one offensive lineman in the state, he just went to Ole Miss. So you've already had two huge defections in a recruiting class that was ranked as high as number three at one time, and now has dropped out of the top five based on the latest recruiting rankings. So this is going to be a tough time. Now, I guess if you're looking for the silver lining, if you can say there's a silver lining in it, LSU had about a $1.5 million committed to Bryce Underwood in NIL money. So now that money is available. So LSU could try to use it and get to flip some guys here in the next couple of weeks as far as flipping their commitment, or they can go ahead and use this money with the help of their collectives and spend big or spend even more in the transfer portal, which, I mean, I think for LSU to have the season that Tiger fans are hoping for, they got to hit the transfer portal really hard. They got to get about, I think, 7, 8, 9 impact players out of that transfer portal to really give them a chance to get in the college football playoff next year.
Do you know where money fit into the Devin Harper decision, or do we know?
Well, I mean, I think money is behind all of this. There's no doubt about that. I mean, and we know based on what we've seen from Ole Miss, they seem to have their NIL machine. It seems to be a little bit more together than LSU's. I mean, just look at what Lane Kiffin was able to do in the transfer portal last year and to help give the Rebels an opportunity to get in the college football playoff. You can make the argument right now that Ole Miss is the best team in the Southeastern Conference. You really could. They got that kind of talent. So I would imagine that probably played a role in it. But you can't – I don't think you can say – I mean, there's no doubt that money is driving all this, Tommy. But the recent struggles here, the recent – it just hasn't been a good look for LSU.
No, it didn't help, but – and we got to take a break here, Jay, Jeff. The only thing I would say, this young man's going to turn 18 years old on August 19th. He's looking at $12 million. That's kind of hard to turn away, don't you think? And whether you like it or not, that's kind of the state of college football now, right? Best team you can buy?
Yes, that's what it is. And you have revenue sharing next year, and whether that's going to maybe even the playing field up a little bit, I don't know. I mean, even when we didn't have NIL, I mean, these kids were getting money coming out of high school. It was all under the table at that point. So, I even with revenue sharing, I think you're still going to have this kind of going on. But still, the play of the team just that doesn't help. That doesn't help the situation either.
Let me take a break. We'll pick it up. We come back. Tim Zimmer brought up a point about LSU and national championships and quarterbacks that I think would give some LSU fans some hope, and that is that the last two times LSU won a national championship, they did it with transfer quarterbacks. So we'll talk about that when we come back. 6:53, 7 till 7, of course. I don't know where name, image, and likeness fit into that at that time, under the table payments, whatever. I don't know. Traffic now, WWL. 6:58 and a half, Tommy Tucker, WWL. So I guess, Jeff, in this new day and age, you get a Drew Rosenhaus or a Tom Condon or one of these NFL agents to be your head coach, and then you just get an assistant coach to handle the X's and O's, right? That's the way it's going to work?
Well, I mean, LSU rehired Austin Thomas, this is his third time with the LSU football program, and he's basically I don't want to say he's the salary cap guru, because there's no salary cap in NIL, no. But he's the one that's really, really trying to manage all this and see, who should get what.
Salary cap is the amount of money they can raise, right? Yeah. That's the cap. You can spend whatever you want,
right,
so long as you can raise it.
Yeah, but you still have to figure out how to allocate all your resources, and kind of Austin Thomas is the one behind that. And even Brian Kelly talked about it in the beginning of the season. This has become so much that the head coach really can't handle, and that you basically need to have a couple guys on your staff that are obviously guys that know how to recruit talent, which is Austin Thomas, but they're also figured out financially.
Before we run out of time, they beat Vanderbilt or not?
This is a tough game. This really is a tough game. You're facing a running quarterback, and you're facing a team that's very hungry. We'll see what LSU is, I don't want to say made of, but we'll see how much pride they have on Saturday night.